You know, we have, each of us have our own journey that we go on, I believe, and each of us has come here for a different reason. Even in this great shift and change, now some of you are listening to this and going, what the hell is he talking about? Where does he come up with all these things, and why does he believe? You know, if I was on the outside looking in, I'd be going, how'd you come to that conclusion? So I thought, you know what, maybe I'll just do, because I don't have a guest lined up, I'm going to tell you why I think the way I do. And everybody, you know, we've all gone down this road, and things have happened to us in our life that have caused us to think a certain way. And I figured, well, maybe if I explain why, I mean, I don't expect you to jump on board with this. This is up to you. I just feel that it's part of my destiny to, if you want to call it destiny, part of what I'm here to do is to release these things that I've experienced so that others maybe can find some truth in them. And if they don't, that's okay. You know, everybody has their own journey. But, you know, I really have been diligent about finding answers, and that goes back to over 30 years ago. So as I look back on how I got started on all of this, but really, when you think about it, I was 4 years old and I had these out-of-body experiences, and I remember waking up in my room just as I was coming back from these experiences, and the whole room was vibrating. And this happened at least a dozen or more times, maybe more than that. And I looked around and everything was shaking, and I even said, wow, this is weird, and it came out garbled. Wow, 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 wow. And it scared the heck out of me. I thought, oh my goodness, something is wrong. There's something wrong with me. And then after a while, you know, when I experienced, I was like pinned down, you know, like they say when you have sleep paralysis. Well, this is not sleep paralysis. I've come to learn it's an out-of-body experience. You're experiencing like the end of the out-of-body experience. I don't know where I went, but I went somewhere and I was coming back in. That's my understanding of what it means. Maybe the scientists are right, but they never want to go that next step and say, you know what, maybe it is not. People are having out-of-body experiences. Yeah, maybe. How come? How come they don't want to even go there? So I returned, I believe I was, and I learned this from a book I read years later by Robert Monroe. He wrote a series of books about having out-of-body experiences, and one of the things he described was having that returning to your body and the room shaking and everything vibrating, and also feel like you're being weighed down, like something's holding you down. And I thought there was some kind of being with me when that was happening. I'm thinking, well, is this a bad being out there? I'm 4 years old. So in my little mind, it's like, this must be like the devil or whatever. But I wasn't really, I was a little frightened. But after a while, it became natural. And I realized I wasn't getting hurt. And so sooner or later, they became not a big deal. I never told my mom or anybody for years. And then I read the book by Robert Monroe, thanks to a woman from Texas who told me about those things, and she sent me some of the books. These are books that, you know, Robert Monroe, he died, I think, in the early 70s, but he was well known for having out-of-body experiences, and he had them. He could induce them at will, and they did a lot of research, and they created a place called the Monroe Institute, and with this research, he was able to prove that he could leave at will. You could even go pinch people. Sometimes people would see his energy or his spirit around them. So, you know, if that's to be believed, then there's proof that we do go on. And we can do it even when we're alive. We can leave our body and go somewhere else. Why not? You know, people have told me that we have a plan coming into our lifetime. But when we, at night, when we're sleeping, many times we leave our body because we're always creating. We'll leave our body and we'll go and visit with others who we want to work with, you know, experience something, some new experience. And so we will hook up with them, have a meeting. We don't remember a lot of it because maybe some of it's not so pleasant. Oh, you're going to do this tomorrow. I'll let you run me over. Okay, great. I'll see you then. This will be fantastic. So in spirit, we think this is great. And then we get back to our bodies and go, you're not going to remember any of this. I wonder what I was going through it for. I never did ponder that. What was such a big deal that I was going through that I had these on? And maybe it's just a natural thing. So then when I was 8 years old, I had this out-of-body experience that was incredibly real. And I know I went somewhere and I was floating in the clouds. I was dreaming that I thought I was dreaming. And it was very vivid. And I'm sitting in the clouds, 8 years old, still a young boy. And I'm looking around and I hear these voices. And I'm thinking, huh, this must be heaven. This is great. And then I heard these voices and I go, and those are angels. I'm going to get to meet angels. You know, I always had kind of had this fear of God and angels. I think because religion kind of puts that in you a little bit. At least with me, you don't quite know what God is. And, oh, you got to be so good or God's not going to like you. And, of course, I think totally different now. But back then, being 8 years old, well, I hope they accept me into heaven. And so these voices, it's like I thought about them. Oh, they're angels. They heard me think. It's like they picked up my thoughts. And then they turned their attention towards me. And they weren't real friendly. And they weren't real mean, but they were troublesome. They were like mischievous. And so they started saying things like, and I remember this all these years later. Who do we have here? Oh, we got a little boy. What are you doing here, little boy? What are you doing here? And it's like, they're kind of really interested in me and they want to grab me and I can feel them reaching at me. I can feel them. I can't see them. So I remember diving back down towards my body and I saw myself like I was looking out and I was flying down real fast and I could feel something grabbing at me, but it couldn't quite get a hold of me. I'm thinking, don't let him get a hold of me. I got to get back in my body or I got to get, I'll wake up from this dream, whatever. Because I wasn't sure if it was a dream, because I'm able to pop out of my dreams. But for some reason, I was flying down. Usually in a dream, I just wake up. And I was just going real fast away from them. And I remember one of them grabbed my butt. I think it was my left cheek. Maybe it was the right. I don't know. He pinched it hard. And I woke up. I slammed into my body. I woke up, and my butt hurt. And it hurt for like 10 minutes. So I knew that unless I did it to myself, which is what one kid at school told me, you probably did it to yourself. No, I don't think so. At the time, I just said, yeah, you're probably right. And I'm 8 years old. And then years later, again, I read with Robert Monroe. He talks about going to these. When you leave your body, you go lots of places. But there are places you go that you got to be a little careful. And he talked about, I think it was a place between the physical and the place where we go after we die. There's a place where a lot of souls are kind of lost and they're locked and they can't figure out how to get out. They're trapped in their own consciousness. And it's not that nobody, you know, I don't think God or any divine source does not want them stuck there. It's just that source is not going to interfere. They have to find their way out. And so when somebody new comes along, they get all excited. Because they think maybe these beings can help them or they're just going to. So that's what I felt I experienced. I experienced some souls that were stuck and they frightened me and they wanted to grab me. And they wanted to study me maybe. I don't know. And I certainly wasn't in any harm or any danger. It's just that, you know, when you pass through those places, Robert Monroe said, you got to guard your thoughts pretty carefully. I didn't read that till years later, the Robert Monroe, probably 30 years later. So I didn't know, but now, you know, now I understand what I experienced. Back then, didn't have a clue. And that's one of the best explanations. Some of you could say, well, it's just a dream. When was the last time somebody pinched you so hard in your butt or pinched you or did anything to you in a dream that it hurt for 10 minutes afterwards? Because that's what happened. So to me, I feel it was a real experience. And I've had other out-of-body experiences. So those early on got me believing there's something more. Or I wasn't sure then. And then I kind of always believed there was reincarnation. I just felt that, you know, we were brought up Christian, Lutheran, and we were brought up to believe a lot of what the Bible said. But there's a lot of things I just didn't accept. And I always felt that, well, God keeps sending us down here to get it right. That was my little theory. Can't possibly get it right the first time all these lifetimes. We got to have more than one time. So for some reason, I didn't know why, but at the time, and then later in life, I'd have clear memories of previous lifetimes, especially my Civil War lifetime. So you don't understand things, but if you give it time, it becomes clear if you really desire that. That's what I think. It's like I really desired the answers for a lot of things, and they came forward. So we also had some other strange things happen when I was a kid. I remember my brother, maybe I was 10, 11, 12, somewhere there. He heard this strange pounding on the window upstairs. And I was downstairs in the living room, and I didn't hear a thing. And he came downstairs, and he said, "Did you hear that?" And he pointed me to come over and talk to him. Because he didn't want to sit in front of my dad, who would have said, "What the hell are you talking about?" And my mom, you know, she would have been curious, but I think my brother just wanted to talk to me. And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "There's a pounding. Did you hear that?" And I said, "No." We lived in an old farmhouse building. It was two stories in the living room and the upstairs bedrooms. There was a one-story added to it that was the kitchen and the bathroom. So you had the one story that connected to the two, and it, you could actually climb out of my bedroom window and my parents and walk on the kitchen. And my brother and I would do that sometimes when they weren't home. My sneaky little buggers. "Hey, let's jump off the roof. Mom and Dad will never know." And I think they got us one time, and that was the end of that. But where my brother was, he was in the third bedroom, which was away from that overlap of the kitchen, which I bet he was real glad. And he heard somebody pounding in my mom's bedroom. So that was like kitty corner across from him, diagonal. And he thought somebody was on the roof. And it was a loud, like somebody was taking a hammer to the window. He thought it was going to break. It was so loud. And if it's that loud, for one, if somebody's on the roof, you could hear them walking around. I don't know if I would have heard that in the living room, but you would, we would have heard something. If there was pounding, it was an old farmhouse. I mean, there was like, it wasn't built that, it was solid, but, you know, there wasn't that much insulation, so you could hear just about anything. And for years, it was a great mystery. Whatever this was, I definitely believe he heard a loud pounding, but somehow the rest of us weren't able to hear that. And it was right outside my parents' window. And for years, I debated, well, what could that be? And then my friend, Reverend Debbie, we went on an investigation of another friend, a coworker. Her name was Mindy. And she had had spirits in her house, and one even knocked on the door when her husband was taking a bath, and he was alone by himself. Imagine that, sitting in his bathtub, and something knocks on the door, and you're going, your bathroom door, and it's like, how would you feel? I wouldn't want to get up. "Let me just wrap a towel. Hello, who is that? Why are you knocking on my bathroom door?" So he investigated and nothing was there. So Debbie went over there and she's, you know, got psychic abilities. She's very good at it. And she walked in and looked around and sensed some things and felt some things. And then we went in the bedroom, Mindy's bedroom. And she looked out the window and said, "Oh, you got a big oak tree there. That's what your problem is." She goes, and Mindy said, and so did I said, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "You have oak trees draw tree spirits. You'll get Druid and Celtic tree spirits. I don't know why. They're drawn to those. And sometimes they wander away from the tree and they're just curious to see what's going on." And when she said that, then it made me think back to my brother all those years ago and made me realize that's probably what happened. And then also, you know, we would see, my brother saw like spirits in the mirror one time. You know, they were moving around. He was in the top bunk bed. I never saw it. And he started crying. He was younger. He was maybe 6 years old. And I said, "Mom, what's he crying about?" And she goes, "Nothing. Go back to sleep." And of course, I go back to sleep. But those spirits in the mirror flying around. But that's okay. They never bothered me. And she said, you know, they're curious and they just check things out. They come to say hi. So I truly believe that's what happened in that incident. That's another mystery solved. But it's also another thing that got me thinking. You know, there are many, many, many things going on that we're not aware of. So now I'm already, you know, believing that we leave our body and we have out-of-body experiences. I remember My brother told me a story of when my father was sick in 1984. He was dying of cancer, and I got up there just a day before he died. But that whole week before, he was visiting with family. Two aunts went to see him. They went into the hospital, and they talked to him, but they put him on morphine. The nurses put him on morphine. He was in so much pain. And back then, they gave you, you know, this is back in 84. So really, morphine was about all they could do. And then, of course, when you take morphine, you're just out of it. You can't even have a conversation. You're just blah, 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 gibberish. And so they went outside because obviously they probably were feeling bad and overwhelmed by it. And they were talking about it while they were walking around the grounds of the hospital in Madison. And then when they went back in, my dad had come to. He came out of the drug state. The morphine had worn off. And he said to them, "I heard what you guys said about me." And he wasn't saying it in anger or anything. He just knew that they were talking about him. And they said, "What are you talking about?" And his response was, "I was sitting on the flagpole. I heard everything you said." So if I'm to believe that, he left his body, like people do when they're in a coma state or a drug-induced state, or even in a deep sleep state. I think we leave our bodies. I think we do it. It's a natural thing. We certainly do it when we pass away. We leave our bodies and go to another place. I think most people would agree with that. And those that have worked hospice, those that are nurses, I've talked to them in detail. Many have told me that they've actually felt something pass right through them. The moment that their patient died, they felt like an energy passed through them, or they even saw a little mist. So I know, and to me, that's pretty solid evidence that we go on, and there's a piece of us, this little tiny, call it your soul, call it your essence, call it your spirit. It leaves your body at the time of death, maybe sometimes even before then. And it goes to this next place. And where is this next place that it goes? Most people would say heaven. And what is heaven? So I've done a lot of research on all that too. And both my parents have come back since they passed and were surrounded by a white light and sent me a wave of love. And I've talked about it before. That was overwhelming. My dad in 1996, my mom in 2011. And it was the most incredible love. You think you love your spouse, your kids, whoever. And yet this love that you feel, that I felt from both of them, to me, is the most encompassing nirvana. There's just unconditional, pure joy, pure nirvana, pure compassion. You just didn't want to leave. And people that have had near-death experiences say the same thing. I know what it feels like now. And I know when I leave here, or anyone that leaves here, that really you're kind of going back into that. So that's not a bad thing. We're just returning home. We just decided to come here, and then we're returning home. So when you know that, you don't grieve as much. Yeah, it's sad to not see those people again. I miss my mom a lot. I miss my father as well. I miss my cat, believe it or not. And even he's come back to me, I believe. Because I know animal spirits go on as well, because they have souls as well. I believe they truly do. We've had animal psychics on the show more than once. But you come to find out that anybody that's had an animal, you know that they have their own unique personality. They're all different. Even chickens, cows, anything, they all have their own unique spark. So that tells me that, I don't know, I just believe that all animals are similar to us. Some people say that we evolve. We start out in God's kingdom as maybe we choose to be a blade of grass, and then we become a tree. And then maybe we become an animal eventually. And then we keep going up to higher consciousness and we become human. And then there are those that say, no, we never go that route. We are always human. And I don't know what the answer is. I guess I'm open to all of it. But it makes some sense that, you know, we're evolving as people and not physically so much from a monkey. I'm not talking that. Spiritually, we're always evolving. So maybe I was a blade of grass at one time. Hey, what are you doing cutting me? Oh, that's not so bad. Okay. That's a sharp blade. Woo! just cut off my head, but I still got the rest of my body. You know, these damn ants are really chewing me up over here. I could use a little water. So, I don't know. I think it's interesting that I'm not sure where I stand on that. Depending on what you believe, I guess, you know, what you've been told, what you've experienced. You know, I've asked some of the psychics I've had on my show, and some of them say, you can never go from human back towards animal, but you could have come and been an animal before, and you've evolved to this next step. But they said also, not everybody's gone that route. That makes a lot of sense. That might be something that sits pretty well with me, but I don't know for sure. Everybody's got a different answer. So I had all these other experiences that continued to shape me, and definitely believed in ghosts. Definitely I had UFO experiences going back to when I was 8 years old. And I've seen three of them in my lifetime. Two UFOs and one being. In 1992, I wanted to see one, had a great desire. And as I went to bed, I kept repeating that I wanted to, and then I saw it. And it scared the heck out of me. And I talked about this in another show. And I was afraid to talk about it at first. I find this with a lot of people. They're afraid to talk about what they've experienced because they don't want to be seen as, he's a crackpot. Well, if that's what you think, doesn't matter to me. That's fine. I know what I am. I know what I've experienced. Is it a dream? Possibly. Could it be a dream? It could be. But this being showed up because I asked it to show up in 1992. It was what they call a gray. It was 4 feet tall, roughly, and it was at the end of my bed. When I woke up right out of a sleep, and I sat up, and I was wide awake. I'm sure of it. And I looked around the room, and there on the left side of the bed was this big head, big almond eyes, skinny little body, what they call grays, 4 feet tall, maybe 4 feet. And it just stared at me. And then I realized I couldn't move. I could not hardly move my body at all, and it scared me. And then I remembered, well, that's what they do. They have the ability to control you with a thought. And they're so far advanced over us that they can just think something. And it's like, okay, if they wanted to destroy me, he or she could have easily done that. And they just kind of glided closer to the bed, and then it looked like it was like gliding on air. I couldn't see the feet. And it glide over to the right side of the bed. And I thought, I hope you're not getting any closer. That's close enough. And I'm barely, you know, I can't even move my head or neck or anything. I'm having trouble breathing because I'm getting excited. I'm getting worked up. And he must have seen that. And there was a thought that popped in my head, which I think came from that being. And it said, if you have no intention of hurting the being, it will let you go. And I thought, I don't want to hurt them. I just want to see if they exist. And so the second I agreed to that is when I was able to move again. And then I had no problem as far as breathing. And I could move my upper head, not completely. I still was kind of pinned in the bed, but in my chest I could move, and my arms a little. He was still keeping me down a little bit. And then I blacked out, and I didn't wake up till 9 or 10 the next morning. And for years, I thought it was a dream. I said, well, it was nice, but it was a dream. And then I realized, I don't remember my dreams unless I wake up right after them. That's what they say. You don't remember dreams. And that makes so much sense, because every time I've ever had a dream, right after I wake up, I can remember it. And then usually it fades. This one never did. I still remember today all that kind of took place. Maybe it was a dream. I don't think it was. I think it was contact. I asked for it. I believed it. I wasn't afraid of it. And it showed up. And that's the same with my father. I asked for it. I believed it. I wasn't afraid. And it showed up. And that's how we get what we want. The law of attraction. You ask for it. You're not afraid of it. You also have to let go and not put too much expectation. So that told me, in my mind at least, that there's other life out there. In the 80s, probably the middle 80s, I was living down in Mississippi, and I remember my brother talking to me about just before I moved, I think he told me about a book he was reading called Messages from Michael. And I said, well, I don't want to read that. I'd rather stick to the Bible and blah, blah, blah. Somehow, some way, somewhere, I think when I moved down to Mississippi and I got divorced and I was by myself, I said, yeah, I'll take a look at that book. What do I got to lose? So maybe events happen in our life to nudge us along. I think they do. And we have the opportunity to look into things at that point, or we can stick our head in the sand and keep believing what we've always believed, or we have an opportunity to wake up. I find a lot of times when people have tragedy, funerals, that's when they're at their most humble. That's when they're at their most open. And then we get back to our everyday lives and we put that shield back up again. And that shield doesn't do us any good. So I started reading this book called Messages from Michael that my brother Gary sent me. I'm glad, you know, I'm fortunate. I have a brother. Well, I know that we probably chose, but he was the one that kind of led me down the road. Maybe that was part of his journey, part of our agreement. So it talked about how we're born several lifetimes and we come back again and again and again. In each lifetime, you know, we hope to advance. We don't always advance. And eventually we go from a baby soul to an old mature, an old soul that's ready to move on. We come here to experience all these levels, and then we eventually reach the level of old soul, and we're done with this. And so I accepted that for a long time because it made a lot of sense. You know, you could understand why people are the way they are. And then it wasn't too much later. I remember Gary and I used to talk about that a lot. And then I moved back to Michigan, and then he told me about a book called Ramtha. And when he first mentioned that to me, I was interested. He started telling me what Ramtha had to say, claiming that Ramtha was a being that lived 35,000 years ago in Atlantis. I know that seems way out there. But you know, you start taking a step down one road, and it opens your mind to other things. So I started reading Ramtha's white book and listening to some different tapes that he had. And it was very... I don't know. I just love the fact that Ramtha said that you are all gods. You're all little gods. You came from a creator being that wanted to experience itself. And so it contemplated and it created many little selves. And these little selves were allowed to go forward and create and do things. And these little selves are little gods. And they have quite a bit of ability. And of course, you know, they came from one, from the one. And we came here to this existence so we could experience what it's like to be in a physical body. But not only just experience that, but I think to forget our connection, because there seems to be great reward. You don't know something until you know the opposite. So you don't know what it's like to be truly connected to God until you know what it's like to not be, you know. And by coming here, we're really far removed, I think. We don't have that deep connection, which is a psychic thought connection that, you know, some people are inspired. They pick up thoughts. Where does it come from? Well, where do you think it comes from? That's my opinion. So I liked a lot of what Ramtha said, and he talked about, what I really liked is that he covered everything. Everything I was ever curious about. Sasquatch, I always believed they existed. I know I'm gullible for all these things, but, you know, you hear people talk about it, even up here. Maybe not back then, but I do now. I've heard many people have many strange encounters, lots of people. They're not all making it up. So he talked about who they were. He talked about the Greys. And that's the little one that I saw. And he said what they were doing. And he said they were coming here and mixing. They're trying to breed emotion back into their physical bodies because they were in a war and they felt in order to survive, they had to take emotion out. And it's funny because I just had a guest on not that long ago who said the same thing. That was the fellow that was in the movie, that one movie. Guy from California. And he talked about, you know, because, you know, he deals with people that channel multidimensional and alien beings. He works with a lot of those channels. And he's got a big fascination in beings that are visiting us. And I do. I have fascination in that, but I have fascination in all the other dimensional beings, too. I mean, anything. All of it interests me. But this fella, God, I can't think of his name. He was just on my show. If you go down, you'll be able to see. He was on not too long ago. But he said that, you know, that these beings were doing, it was an agreement that was made before we even came here. We make agreements. We choose our lives. Ramtha said we do this as well. We choose our lives, and we plan out everything we want. And the longer we take doing it, the more successful it's going to be, just like anything that we plan out. And he said there are two things, basically, that happen. You have a plan that you want to achieve certain things in a lifetime. And then while you're there, your thoughts and feelings create the law of attraction, which draw things to you. And on top of that, you're always creating. So when you go to bed at night, you dream and you leave your body and you go and meet with others who are here. Some of them aren't. And you plan other things that you're going to do. And this is why you have deja vu. When something happens, you've already been practicing it in the dream world, or you've already gone through it. That makes sense to me. So I just, so much of what he said rang true, especially with the grays, you know. And then I read the book by Whitley Strieber, and he talked about similar things being taken. And it was one of the first books come out, Communion, talking about being abducted. And there were many other pioneers that came out with that. Now it's commonplace, and I don't know what to believe from people, because some say the grays are horrible and they do horrible things. And then others say, no, 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 they're my friends. Jim Maroney was on my show a couple of times. He's from Canada, and he had an experience where he was taken at a truck stop. And right in front of everybody, but they seem to know how to make people not see things. And they pulled him out of his vehicle. He remembered some of that, but under hypnosis, he remembered all of it. But he told me at the end of it that he cried, because they explained everything to him. And he said they were like family. And I was so sad to see him go. But I didn't remember any of that. I have to collect my thoughts. Because Ramtha talked about so many things. He talked about the hollow earth, which I had never heard of before. And then I set out to prove all these things he talked about. So on my show, you've heard me interview people that believe the earth is hollow. There was going to be two different expeditions. They were going to go find this opening in the North Pole or the South Pole, basically the North. I don't think you can get to the South Pole. And these guys were all set, and they were all gung-ho, and they were going to film it in live time. And the funding got pulled at the last second. And I wasn't surprised, because there are those that don't want you to know that. They don't want you to know that the earth is hollow. And I know for a lot of you, this is like, what? What's he talking about? How can you even believe that? One thing led to another. And I was able to find evidence to me that supported things that I heard from entities like Ramtha. And Ramtha supposedly is a being that's been around. His last time on Earth was 30,000 years ago, 35,000. And he is being channeled through Jay-Z Knight. Now, there's been a lot of negative press about Jay-Z Knight, and maybe it's true. You know, maybe she's turned into a cult. I don't know. But I think originally there was some truth in what she was saying. And I found a lot of it very truthful, because I did exploration. I didn't just take it at its word and go, this is great. I spent the last 30 years trying to prove or disprove what was being said. This is what's really driven me on my journey to find answers. Ramtha talked about the New World Order, which at the time you didn't hear much about. This is late 70s. Well, I mean, I was reading the book in the 80s, but I think he started coming out with this stuff long before people were really talking about it, long before the people were talking about the grays. And then I started to watch different things and see different, and you start to realize he's telling the truth. about what the potential was at one point that we were going to have a one-world government, which wouldn't have been really a good thing. And some of you might feel that still is the course that we're going. And I no longer believe that. I mean, there's those that probably want that, but they... I think there's those that are interceding. I'm pretty sure of it now. I'm pretty sure we have beings that are interceding on behalf of a lot of things. Just to, we've crossed that threshold, 2012. And so what we thought, many of us thought was going to happen, now is not going to happen. And even before then. And somebody told me, and I read it as well, that the reason that these things that Nostradamus predicted and Edgar Cayce said that there were going to be meteorites that might destroy a good part of the planet and population. You know, I read in an article from Archangel Metatron that he said that was all going to happen. They were seeing the future, but it changed as the future can. And they said the reason it changed is because in 1987, harmonic convergence, I believe that's what it is, that we chose a path of love. Earth no longer wants to be a place of darkness. It said, you know, I'm a living being, and you guys have had whatever you wanted, and I was willing to go along with it, but now this is where I'm going, and you're welcome to come with me. But if you don't, this is where I'm going. And it's always done out of love, I think. So when we made the choice to change with Earth, to consciously change, and this is what the big talk is about, going from third to fifth dimension. I don't know if we're going third to fifth dimension. I just know there's great changes and great awareness coming to the planet. I see it all the time with people I talk to. And this is why I believe Ramtha predicted these things that were going to happen, and they never happened. So part of me would say either he was lying, it was a hoax, or all this other stuff he said is true. Why didn't this happen? Well, because at the time when he made those predictions, we had not quite reached that agreement yet. And by making that agreement, it saved us, basically. Not our souls are always safe. Saved us from being wiped out off the planet, because things would have been set in motion. And, you know, Earth would have said, well, I'm starting over. Sorry. That's what I feel. Maybe that sounds just a little to some people, but that's why I believe. It's just like so many things have lined up. And then as far as like Bermuda Triangle and the Hollow Earth, you heard me interview probably, or maybe you didn't, but Bruce Gernon's been on my show more than once, and others have been on as well. They talk about a doorway, and Bruce Gernon is the only one to really survive going through some kind of weird doorway in the Bermuda Triangle. And Ramtha said there are places on the earth where the doorway opens from the hollow earth. And if you're caught in that, they're not trying to hurt you. These beings, they come out to check on us. And they have ships. They have aeroships that fly. And they're more advanced than us. And if you are caught in that doorway, you'll be sucked down to the bottom of the ocean, or you'll be sucked inside. And what's inside? Well, according to Ramtha, and now other sources are confirming this, the Earth is 800 miles thick, the actual crust of it. And then once you get beyond that, you have oceans and land masses on the inside of the planet. The Earth is hollow. And he said all planets are hollow. And he said all planets really have life inside, because some of it outside is unbearable. Although he said, you know what? There's life on Venus and Mercury and the sun. We just don't understand the kind of beings that could exist there, because we couldn't. That doesn't mean that others couldn't be there. That's a lot to take in. You got to be really open about it. I realize that. So then, I just kept looking for more answers. Sasquatch, I got to know so many people that have witnessed them. And he said they were beings that just chose not to evolve like we did. And they decided to live in nature. And they're there to kind of keep an eye on nature. And he said that they travel dimensionally. They can open a doorway and be gone. I believe he said that. And then my native friends have confirmed that they've seen that and witnessed that. So there's no doubt in my mind. That's accurate. And as far as all these other beings that exist out there, which I don't recall how much he went into that, but I've just over the years learned that there are more and more and more. These beings that knocked on the window when we were kids, they were spirits that are attracted to oak trees, and we had two big oak trees. And that's what Debbie said when she looked out the window at Mindy's house. She looked out the window and said, "Oh, you've got oak trees. That's what draws them in." And then I thought back to that time when we were kids, and I remember we had these huge oak trees right outside my parents' bedroom window. Is that a coincidence? My brother hears this pounding that scared the hell out of him. I'm glad I wasn't up in my room, because I would have jumped right out of my shorts. Boom. But, you know, when you get to learn about things, you don't have fear of them. And people will dismiss the unknown. Things will happen to them, and they go, "Well, I don't know what it is, so I'm not going to worry." And they're afraid to even talk about it. And I'm thinking, what's there to be afraid of? Why would anything in the universe be here to hurt us? And I realize there are things that can, you know, they can mess with us if we allow them. But ultimately, I don't think anything was placed in the universe to destroy us. And Earth is one of the rare, I don't think this is the normal way of life on most planets. Let's say that there's life on other planets. Earth is kind of caught up in the Dark Ages. A lot of them have evolved to where dark energy no longer runs things, and they become enlightened souls, beings of love. I'm not saying there aren't beings out there in the universe that would want to harm us. There are some of those. And they came in the past, and some of that I believe is in the Bible. But anybody that evolves is going to evolve towards love, and eventually you're going to move away from being destructive. And because they easily could have wiped us out. They could have wiped us out anytime they wanted. Ramtha said they've been responsible for replenishing our atmosphere. And he said it went back to the days of the Industrial Revolution. He said, "You were pouring so many toxins in the air, and nobody cared. You would have destroyed your atmosphere. But these beings, not only do they have an agreement to take you and procreate with you so they can breed emotion back into their... they also are helping you." And he said, "And they will cleanse your atmosphere." And he said, "There's a little green light that you will see." I think it's green. If you look to the horizon at the end of the night when the sun's going down, you may see a flash. I think that's what he said. God, it's been so long. But I know when I moved out to Wilson 17 years ago, I remember always looking up in the sky. And I remember I saw one night I looked over towards the west, and I saw what appeared, maybe my eyes are playing tricks on me, but it was like just for a moment, this green flash, just as the sun was going down. Maybe it was something else altogether. It's just these things happen, and I really believe they happen. And if we look for them, they're there to tell us, yes, this is the truth. And, you know, we can easily dismiss it away, or sometimes maybe I'm completely wrong on it. I've had tons of animal contacts, as I've talked about, that have come to me. I know that I think it's spirit activity. You know, there's some things that have happened. There's no way it's just an animal going, "Hey, look at me." There is definitely a connection, and it's there to usually not so much even warn you, but just let you know. Sometimes let you know that, you know, we're around you and we're here to support you. We're trying to help you. A lot of it's that. So he talked about so many different things, and that's where I got a lot of my information about what I feel was really going on. And that's what got me on this journey to find answers about all of this crazy stuff that I heard and read. He had tapes you could listen to, and I listened to those over and over again. And you know, some people might think, "Well, that's you kind of getting brainwashed." I never wanted to join any group. I never wanted to, "Gee, let's all get together and let's sacrifice a toad," or whatever. You know, there was just none of, I'm an independent being. I don't have any desire to belong to a group, and I don't mind sharing time with others, but I'm not going to be part of group thinking. I'm going to be part of my own journey. So for that reason alone, I have no desire to belong to anything, because I think there's a great danger in that. Then you start having to think like a certain group. And I also notice with the group thinking that we all believe this, and if you want to be a part of this, you have to believe this too. And it's like, well, then count me out, because I'm not going to believe that. Tomorrow I might believe something different, you know? I'm pretty sure I know what's going on, but that doesn't mean that I'm not open to the thing I notice with a lot of people, even what I think are enlightened beings and very gifted psychic beings, is that they learn some things, they trust their own intuition, and they only go so far with it. And then they kind of close off. And maybe that's all they want to learn. I don't want to stop there. It's like climbing the mountain. I don't want to stop halfway up. I want to get to the top and keep going and find answers for everything. And often with people that I've come to know that are psychics and mediums, channels, they all kind of have a different way of seeing it. And so who's right? And why are they so different? And some will say, well, it's because their level of understanding. I don't know. And I think there's many levels you can tap into, and consciousness at each level is going to be more expanded than another level. So this is why there's a difference, I think, in the understanding. Basically, they're all saying the same thing. They're saying that we are in a time of great awakening. The earth is changing, which we just had this horrible rain that we've never had. I probably got at my house 7 inches of rain. I don't recall ever getting that. It's like monsoon, and we don't live in an area where we get that. So, and then we had all that hail, which I posted a picture of. So what's going on? And the earth is changing. It's shifting. It's not, it's part of global warming, but it's also a great climate change. I truly believe that the earth is designed to do this. And you can read Steve Becco and go to his website, Golden Age of Gaia, and they're always talking about that. People want to blame it as global warming. And yes, we do contribute to that, but really it would happen even if we weren't here. And some might say, well, that's irresponsible to think that way. Well, how do you know for sure we're even causing this? I agree we should not pollute the oceans. We should cut back on our carbon footprint. But at the same time, something else is going on. It's pretty obvious. Something else is going on with the planet. And so many people, I just had this conversation today with another man because he sees some things as being a little hopeless, and he's a good soul. And he was in my studio on the air with me. And I said, you know what? I don't agree with you. I said, I think there's a lot of people waking up, and I see a lot of the younger souls, the millennials, are going to be the ones that are going to lead us to the next place. And a lot of people think the millennials are lazy and entitled and don't want to work or do anything. Well, who wants to work? Is that the best thing for us, you know, if we didn't have to? No. So I don't blame them in that respect, but somehow you do have to kind of support yourself until we have these abilities, maybe where we don't have to. But I see them very clearly. A lot of them, they're no nonsense, and they seem to just know the truth. And my generation wasn't as aware of that. And they seem more psychic. And this has all been foretold, you know, that these kind of things would be coming forward. And I think there are a lot of things that people agree on, psychics and mediums. They all agree on the great shift that's taken place since 2012, greater awareness. Some people call it ascension. I don't know really what is ascension. I guess we're going to just become more aware. And we no longer will, our physical bodies will no longer be dependent on what we think. Wouldn't that be great? I hope it's the case. So we could be unlimited. And I've said it before, I think we are. You know, and Ramtha talked about being a master, an ascended master, which was what he claimed to be. And he said, if you become an ascended master, and he said, anybody could become this, you wouldn't need to depend on food. You could create it when you needed it, although you wouldn't be hungry because you're filled with prana. So you're never, your body's always sustaining itself. You would never have to bathe because you basically would think yourself clean. Whatever you thought, you could create in an instant. And those of you that believe in the law of attraction, you know you can create on a smaller level. We know that. Well, what about on a bigger level? What if we're truly unlimited beings? And what if that was really the message in the beginning and we've lost sight of that? And some would say deliberately, so we could experience what it's like to experience duality, separation of God. And that in itself is a great experiment. This is great. Now I can find out what God really is by knowing what he isn't. All this place here I've searched from, he's not. He's not negative, any dark, negative hatred, none of that stuff. That's not God. He is just love. Anything to do with love. And so we have this great journey to rediscover him by not knowing what he is. And that's just part of the experience. I believe as souls, we line up all these experiences. What am I going to do next? Well, I've been to Earth and I did the physical thing for thousands and thousands of years. I'm done with that. And I'm ready to try another adventure. And then also Earth in its own right, coming to a physical world, you get locked in a cycle. And some people say the reincarnation cycle is a level. And Ramtin talked about reincarnation. As most of the ancient wisdoms did talk about reincarnation. Even Native Americans believed in it. So is it true? I believe it is. I believe we come back many, many times. I have memories, two fairly vivid memories of previous times, but maybe even more than that. If I really dwell on it. You know, whatever you're attracted to in history is probably when you lived before. If you're drawn for some reason to World War II, I knew a kid in school that just absolutely loved World War II, everything. His initials were WAR, believe it or not, W-A-R. His name was Wayne. And at the time, I didn't know why somebody would so young would be fascinating with World War II, but I really believe he died in it. I wish I would have been more aware at a young age, and I could have asked him, do you have any memories being on a tank or storming the beaches or whatever, Because generally when somebody has that strong of an interest, I believe it comes from being there. They did. There was this great show that used to be on LMN, and they don't run it anymore, but you can probably find it on the internet. It was called The Ghost Inside My Child, and these children will remember, I don't know why they call it The Ghost Inside My Child. These children will remember who they were and from a previous life, and they had nobody pushing them, saying, well, it was just, they spurted it out of their mouth. I was this, and I was so-and-so, and I remember this, and so some of the families would track down and try to prove what these kids we're talking about, and some of them were. And one of them was the story of a kid now who I think is probably well into his teen years, late teen years, if not older. But at the time that they showed him on this LMN show, he was like 12 or 11. And he had memories of being a fighter pilot in World War II. And he even knew where his family was from. He told them what city. They were able to track down his sister, who was still alive at the time. He called her by a name that only he would have known. He identified the aircraft, which when they found out the man's name, there truly was a man by that name who flew an aircraft by that. So, and that's just one instance. There are many, 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 many. But, we ignore them because the mainstream media is not reporting it, well, therefore it can't be accurate. Well, what do you need? Don't believe everything you see on the internet. I agree. But there are sources, I think, that you can go to and you can find answers. And this, most of the answers I found were well before we had other options. And people, I just trust people more than anything, people that share a story with you. If they've had an experience, they're not making it up. People always say that, well, they must be making it up for attention. I don't know anybody that makes up stuff. Maybe there's a couple of people I met in my life, but for the most part, most people are reluctant to share their stories because they know they're going to get ridiculed. And hopefully they can get past their fear because there really is nothing to fear. You want to think things about me? That's, hey, that's up to you. That's your choice. You know, everybody's got their own opinion on things. But I also realized that when I do my shows, and then when I had Steve Becko on last week, because he goes off on so many things, and it's like, I haven't heard about these things too much. You know, the Nesera and the Reval. I mean, I only know them because I started reading his website, and it lines up so much with what Ramtha used to say and others that I've listened to. And, you know, he's got all different types of beings, if you want to say these are actual beings that are being channeled. Archangel Michael. Just so many different ones. And, you know, like with any of the people I have on here, my dear sister Joy, you know, the things she talks about line up. And so there's a lot of us, we didn't all go to school and say, okay, we're going to talk about New Age metaphysical stuff, and this is, we all went to school and this is what it's about. Each of them found it in their own way. And it's funny how the truth is the same, so often the same, in a lot of these things they said. So, for me, this is what the journey's been about, to discover this. And then the big thing with me, too, is that when somebody started talking about ascension, which is the thing I didn't even know, 2012, that this was going to be, we were ascending, you know, until after it happened. That's when I started reading about it, hearing about it. But I've always been fascinated by it, and I think this is part of my journey to these ascended masters. When Ramtha talked about them, and there was a book called Masters of the Far East, several books actually, and these beings claim that, you know, they were able to do whatever Jesus did, basically, because they had figured it out. They had figured out that we can really be unlimited in physical bodies. And that's always like been my thought. It's like, yeah, I want to do that. And I'm not talking about doing things to hurt others. It's always going to be for the highest. It's always going to be for the best. So when you live in that love state of mind, which is more than just, you know, love you feel from your parents, a deeper nirvana love, you tap into that and you will become what you were meant to be. You're tapping into the Creator. And the Creator's unlimited, so you should be unlimited, right? And so all this physical life is really an illusion. And we can be anything we truly think. It all starts with our thoughts. And then they say our emotions kind of equal our reality. But it has to start with our thoughts. And our thoughts hold us back, and we don't even realize it. If you, throughout the course of a day, kept track of everything you thought and wrote it down, how much of that would be negative or reinforcing what you already believe? And this is why I truly believe we create with our thoughts each and every day who we are and what we're going to be. There are a lot of gurus out there will say, well, I'm going to coach you on how to go this way. We're going to just say this and repeat this. You have to do more than that. I think you have to feel it and believe it. And for some of you, maybe the law of attraction's worked. It's worked for me more than once, but other times it doesn't. And I just think the desire's not there. But also, and one of the reasons I wanted to do this show this week, we're distracted. If we really, really want something, every time in my life I really, really wanted something, it came forward. Every time. But when I say, well, I want this to happen, but I work every day, and I have friends, and we do stuff with family, and whatever the case may be, my focus doesn't stay strong. And when things are good, you know, you really don't do stuff until your back's up against the wall, do you? Most of the time. So when things are good, well, I'd like to have this and that, but, you know, if I don't, I'm doing pretty well. It's kind of like the universe lines it up for you, too, sometimes. I think that's why I go through certain things, because it's saying, well, you want this? Well, then you got to really want it. And these things are going to happen to make you want it. And then you go, well, wait a second, that's a little much. And then it pulls away. So desire and then focus. Desire, thought, desire, and focus. And focus is the biggest issue, because I don't know if you're like me. I still watch some TV at night before I go to bed. Put a little bit of that on. My wife likes watching it. I could live without a lot of it, but that's okay. I like spending time with her. And, you know, then my job and then other things. And I find myself not focusing as much as I should. Really focusing, thinking about it intently every day. That's what I think the big deal is. This is why maybe some of you have not seen things happen. I know it's why I haven't, because my focus hasn't been there. And lately, it's just been all over the place. I've just been doing so many things, I can't keep up with all of them. And a lot of it's work-related. So my dream has been to step away. Okay, I've done enough work. I like my work. I like being on the radio. It's fun. Maybe I help people in some way. You know, I feel like I try to with injecting a little bit of humor and then also bringing love every day, being in a good mood, being happy, being pleasant, talking to people, making them feel good about themselves. I've always been that way. And I come to realize, I guess there's a lot of people that just don't see that. And I'm thinking, how could they not? It's such a natural thing. I remember back being a child, how I just loved everybody. And I wanted to get to know everybody. And your parents are kind of protecting, even though back then they didn't worry about it. They're saying, well, you know, maybe be a little more careful. And then, you know, the first time you get squashed, you start to pull back. But I still, to this day, feel this incredible love for anybody I meet. And want to, I'm sure a lot of you feel that. You notice that, like with new people, you're all excited when you first meet them. And then you get to know them and maybe you find some things out about them. Then, oh, I don't know if I like this. They're a little weird. And then that fades because we start judging them, you know. And as a child, you're not like that. You don't judge people because you're still at that stage where you haven't been taught that. I'm talking when I was 2 or 3 years old. And I remember that clearly. And so now I think, you know, we return back to that. We can return back to that. But I just feel that there is this incredible love that I have, that we all are connected, you know. We all are from the same place. I don't think anybody can argue with that. And I think there's this overwhelming love for each of us that we just don't realize. And we've been taught through our religions, through our parents, through our institutions, well, this is what God is, and this is what you have to do in order to get his affection. And this, it's like people today are not buying that. That's why religion is dying out. If they don't change their tune, nobody's going to go to their churches because they just know better. And I'm not trying to slam churches. I would never do that. It's just that if you look at the history of even like the Presbyterians, I was reading about that the other day. Well, actually, more than a few weeks ago. And there was a Presbyterian minister back in the 1800s, and he was very hardline, talking about men and women's relationships, and they shouldn't do their certain things till they're married. And I'm not against any of that if that's what people want to do. But that's no longer the case. They're one of the more accepting and open denominations out there, as far as I know, at least the Presbyterians that I know, which I think is good. I'm glad to see they're doing that. But there was not the case like 120 years ago, 130 years ago. It was very more rigid. So they've loosened. And some people would say, well, they've kind of let things slide. No. They realized, I think, that their flock would not stay with them. So in order to survive, they had to change. Change is good. Change can be real good. Anyway, that's some of what I believe and why I believe it. And everybody's got their own journey. We all have our own thoughts and beliefs. And things have happened to us to shape that. And like I said, I've had some really strange paranormal things. I know people have had a lot more. And then sometimes I listen to them talk and I go, really? Even I doubt it sometimes too. So I can only imagine what people listening to this show are going, he's nuts, isn't he? Yeah, but he's kind of harmless. And so it's hard to grasp on to what other people perceive as being the truth. until we've taken that step. And people can tell us all they want. And we go, yeah, okay. I've been there. I'm still there at times when people tell me things that I've never heard before. And then when I've done a little exploring on it, it's like, maybe there's truth here. Maybe I believe this, you know? Anyway, that's just something I wanted to share. And hey, whatever you believe, that's up to you. I'd love to hear your comments, you know? If you have something you want to say, you're wacko. You know, if you want to say that, I think you're nuts. Or, you know what, I'm not, everybody should be entitled to what, a lot of people say, well, everybody has their own opinion and beliefs. That's telling me they look at me and they're thinking, because I talk about this stuff with just about anybody. I feel it's part of what I should do to expose them to this, because sooner or later they're going to be exposed. Sooner or later, there's going to be spaceships in our skies. And I know they're not going to do this to frighten us, but people are going to go, what's this all about? There's going to be all these changes. They're happening right now. And if this is true, then I'm trying to just kind of nudge people so they realize, okay, there's a lot more going on than I've been told or that I've seen with my own eyes. And most people, I think, that listen to this probably are pretty open anyway. And I certainly don't wish to challenge anything you believe. Whatever you believe is your journey. I just feel it's my job to relate this. I think I chose this, and things lined up for me. I went to broadcasting school just on a whim, thanks to my buddy, Lonnie. I don't know what I would have done. And then when I was ready to get out of broadcasting, it's like the universe stepped in. My wife at the time, my first wife, said, well, you're working part-time. I got fired from my first broadcasting job, and I was working part-time. You need to get a real job. Blah, 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 blah. And so I was this close to quitting. And then out of nowhere, I get a call to go down to Mississippi, and it was a good job. It was a good company. And boom, lo and behold, it leads me back up here. And then every person I feel that's come into my life has been leading me down this road. And I went into radio so I could talk, so I would learn how to talk about things, so I could tell people. And there are other people that feel the same way. They feel like they're, you know, that they need to be in a position to tell others for when things change around. Change is not going to be a bad thing. Maybe some of it will be a little scary. So maybe there's a lot of us being put in position for when that change does happen, that we can be voices of reason. Voices of, I don't know, maybe none of that's never going to happen. But I really feel this is kind of what I'm here for, because all these things are changing. And, you know, if I listen to Steve Becko and some of the things on his website, you know, people chose these roles. Okay, God doesn't show special favor. We chose these roles because maybe we've been here many, many, many times. And we thought, okay, I played the game here, but now I'm ready to assist. And we put ourselves in positions of, I wouldn't say necessarily leadership, but in a position to help others, assist others, or talk about what is happening. When the stuff hits the fan, and it doesn't have to be bad or scary, but it's going to frighten people maybe because they don't understand it. They haven't taken the time to look at it. And they've been locked in these old beliefs. Oh, this is the way it is. It's always going to be this way. I believe it. Well, then you're going to be in for a big shock. And I don't think the universe wants to shock us, but it's going to happen. Things are going to happen. They already are. They have been happening. I just think they're going to happen at a more accelerated pace. And so when this does happen, we need beings put in position that are going to speak the truth and be calm about it. And maybe you're one of those beings. Do you ever think about that? If you're open to all this stuff, maybe you're one. You just don't realize it yet. Many abductees that I've talked to said they felt like they were being programmed for something, for a day when something was going to happen and they were going to speak up about it. And I can think of a couple of people directly. Byron is one, and Jim Maroney is another. And I said, what do you think they're doing? And they said, well, there's going to come a day when they're going to land, and they're going to want somebody to be an ambassador or to communicate or to tell the others what's going on without being afraid and to give a clear picture of it. Whether or not that happens in the near future, I don't know. A lot of sources are saying it's going to happen soon. I'm not going to worry about it. Maybe there was a plan to make it happen soon, but, you know, stuff happens. We have free will that affects our future. So they have this plan. I believe the universe has a plan in motion. I believe the galactic brothers and sisters have a plan. They're multi-dimensional beings. But it's always, it can always be changing. Because we go as a group, as a collective, are going, not ready yet. And, you know, it takes the majority of us to say, we're ready. We want this to happen. That's what I believe, why I believe it. And that's the road I've traveled. And I continue to look at things openly and honestly. And maybe I find something better that I believe. You know, thanks to Steve and his website, I've shifted a fair amount of my thinking. It's just opened my eyes to other things as well. And who knows, 5 years from now, I don't know where I'll be. It's a fun journey. Thanks for listening.